Hey, it's Jared Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Lot to discuss here. We'll get to something. Well, Kyle had a thought this morning that drove me crazy. So we got to get to that coming up in a little bit about the Phillies. What? Yeah. Totally driving me crazy. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit about the Phils. Tomorrow, Dombrowski and Topper are set to speak. And, of course, your phone calls, 23 or 24. Where is this Eagles season heading more towards? Hugh Douglas, being hopeful, Hugh over here,
yay,
says it's 24, even though all the facts, all the evidence are saying it's 23.
I wasn't very convinced.
I just refuse to believe that this season.
So you're in denial. You're just full denial.
No, you can't. To me, it's asinine to have these tremendous highs and win a Super Bowl and then revert to the exact same BS that you had going on last year.
The Eagles are asinine.
I agree. I mean, I'm not saying this is cool, but this is what is happening.
I have more faith in Jalen that he's going
to
correct.
You know, but, and we'll talk to Elliot about this coming up now. Some of this might just be out of his hands.
Believe.
It might be out of his hands. He's got to play better, but boy, they have injuries and they're just not the same football team. All right, joining us now, of course, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C, that's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott Shore Park's, of course, you hear all the time on WIP, covering the Eagles. And now you're going to hear him 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday.
He's going to talk to us after a while.
No, he might not. Go Birds Evenings, our host of that show. Elliott, how are we doing today?
I promise, unlike Kyle, I won't have an opinion from 6 to 8 that'll drive you crazy. That's the one promise I can make.
Well, I'm not sure if I believe that, but I'm excited to listen. So, Elliott, before we get into the Eagles, tell us about Go Birds Evening. Yeah. It starts tonight at 6.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. So basically, every Wednesday from 6 to 8, I'll come right from the NovaCare facility, right from practice, on air, and we're going to talk Eagles for 2 hours. I'm going to have a rotating cast of guests every week, beat writers, hopefully have players, coaches, and, you know, do something I don't get to do a lot on WIP, talk about the Eagles.
You know what? The station doesn't have enough Eagles talk.
Exactly.
No, it's exciting. Yeah. I'm happy for him. Excited to listen to it. All right, Elliott, I'm sure you'll be talking about these kind of themes starting tonight. Elliott, when you look at the team through 6 games, 6 weeks, we head to week 7, where is this headed, Elliott? Because we have two different years the last 2 years, and both had pivot points. And in 2023, it all fell apart when they started to struggle. Last year, they struggled, and then they bounced back and dominated the NFL. Yesterday, Sirianni was asked about that by John Rich, and he was like, well, why can't it be 24? Elliott, when you look at the whole picture, what is this starting to feel more like to you?
So it definitely feels more like 23. There's no question about that. Just watching the way they play, being down there, the quotes you hear about being one block away, you know, the self-inflicted wounds, the insistence that they're not thinking about last year. Like, it feels like I'm covering the 23 season again. But I do think if you had to say to me, which is more likely, it ends like 23 or it ends like 24, I would probably have to lean 24. And the reason is because 23, I think if you played that season out 10 times, it only ends that way, that like worst possible outcome, maybe once or twice. I mean, they really, you know, collapse in a way we'll probably never see again. Now, do I think they're going to win every game the rest of the year and go and win the Super Bowl in dominating fashion? No, I don't think they're good enough. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But it would surprise me if at the end of the year we feel the same like collapse level of disappointment that we did in 23.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I don't think it's going to get as bad as it was in 23. But there's a lot. Elliott, my concern right now is that there's so many issues, right? Like, last year at this time, the defense has started to come together. The running game was really rolling, and it was like, all right, can they pass it well enough to win the Super Bowl? And obviously, Jalen and the passing game were good enough in big moments, and they won it. Elliott, when you look at the team right now, like, what is the biggest issue? Because there's a lot of them piling up now between injuries, the offense, the passing game, third down. I mean, it's just a lot right now. The pass rush without Za'Darius Smith, which kind of came out of nowhere. Of all the issues they have, which one's the biggest one for you?
Yeah, I would probably need a show from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight to get into every single issue that
this
team's going.
Shameless plug.
Yeah,
shameless
exactly. Plug. 6 to 8 p.m., call in, 215. But, no, it's a look, I think their number one issue right now in terms, not a player, but like number one issue is they can't run the ball. Because last year, I think their running game masked a lot of problems. You know, the defense was great last year, no question about it. But I don't think we give the offense enough credit for how much they helped the defense out. The offense never turned the ball over. The offense ran the ball all the time, controlled the clock, and put the defense in a ton of advantageous situations. If you look at some of the like tough situations the defense was in last year, oftentimes when the game was close in the fourth quarter, they made it like closer, or they allowed the team to go down the field, and sometimes they got the stop at the end and sometimes they didn't. But I think the biggest problem right now is without the running game, the defense is on the field more. The passing game has more, you know, more weight to carry, and they're not able to hold on to the ball because, you know, the Bucs game, they were unable to kill clock. Like, it's just been a problem for them with holding leads. So I think if they could start to run the ball again, you would see other things fall into place.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here talking Eagles as we look forward to week 7. They play the Vikings on Sunday. Elliot, we don't know who the quarterback is going to be yet, but do you want it to be Carson Wentz?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, Carson versus Jalen, I know we've gotten it once before, but it's great theater, it's great content. And, you know, Carson, like when he initially left the Eagles, I thought the way he left was messed up. He forced his way out. While I understand the reasoning, he still left the team at a low point, right? But at this point, I want to see Carson succeed. Maybe not on Sunday, but like I think Carson has been through a lot. He did help the team win a Super Bowl. So yeah, I want to see Carson. And you know, for all the like the jokes that'll be made this week about it being Carson, he has more passing yards in his last two games than Jalen has in back-to-back games since week 9 of 2023. So like he is passing the ball at a level the Eagles have really not been able to do for almost a year and a half, or almost 2 full years, depending how you look at it. So like, yeah, I get it. It's Carson. It's funny, but they are moving the ball up and down the field with him at quarterback.
Well, it also would be like an eye-opening moment if they can't stop this version of Carson Wentz, right? He's older. He's been on 6 teams now in 6 years. He's obviously kind of a journeyman at this point. If they struggle on Sunday to stop him, and I know you're saying he's playing decently, but like that's eye-opening. It shows a lot about this defense.
Yeah.
Elliot, let's talk about the defense. Because of the two units, we've spent more time on the offensive issues this year, and I don't think the defense has been bad. I think they're kind of buckling now because all they've been asked to do and all the snaps they had to play in a 4-day span last week. But personnel-wise, they've got some issues now, Elliot. I mean, I'm not sure about the status of Jalen Carter for this week. We know Quinyon Mitchell's probably down for this week. And then the pass rush, the outside pass rush, the retirement of Za'Darius Smith. Elliot, just roster-wise, personnel-wise, how concerned are you with the defense heading into this week?
Very concerned. I mean, the Vikings, now, their offensive line is not great. You know, we just talked about the quarterback. They don't have a great running game, but they do have those great receivers. And the Eagles' weakness is obviously right now, I mean, there's a bunch of them, but it's obvious their main weakness, I think, is in the secondary. So going up against this Vikings offense, that's a major concern. And you just talk about the defensive personnel as a whole. I mean, Howie Roseman, you got to think like he is either he hits on all of these free agents or it feels like he whiffs on everyone. There's very few years where he's down the middle, right? And last year, he hit on a lot of them. This year, it's been, you know, much thinner in terms of the free agents he's hit on. They banked on Adoree Jackson. That hasn't really worked out. They banked on Azeez Ojulari. He can't even get on the field. They signed Za'Darius Smith. He retired. So like his attempts at adding talent to the defense have not worked out. Now, that doesn't mean the defense can't turn it around because he also already had some great players on the team. Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Zach Bond, Jahad Campbell looks great. They need those players to play up to their potential, and they have more weight to carry now because the edges and the free agents they brought in have not really worked out.
All right, we have 20 days, Elliot, until the NFL trade deadline. And I'm trying to figure out if Howie's going to continue doubling down on this roster or is he going to say, I've done enough? I mean, he has made a lot of trades just in the last few months within the season, training camp. And this is a team but still needs more help, Ellie. I think back to 2018 because they were not playing well coming off a Super Bowl championship. They were defending champs. And he made that trade for Golden Tate that I thought was to kind of try to ignite things. It didn't really work. I mean, he did have a big moment in the Bears playoff game, but he tried. He tried to help out a defending champion. Elliot, with 20 days to go, do you believe Howie's going to double down and try to do something meaningful to help this team?
I do, yeah. I mean, they have a ton of draft picks. They have obviously an incentive to help the team this year. As much as we might feel down about them, and I think rightfully so, they still are one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the NFL, even with their flaws. Not playing like it, obviously, but I still think if you ask most people to rank who would win the Super Bowl. The Eagles would fall right around that top five spot. So, you know, I think he will. And you look at the assets they have. They have that Jets third round pick, and that could end up being like an extremely valuable pick because the Jets haven't even won a game yet. So they have the assets to go out and do it. But where I think you could see him toe the line a little bit is a player like Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher for the Jets. He would come in. He would be a major help, I think, in terms of what they have now. But he's also only 26 years old, where you can also rationalize that he's a piece for the future. So I think you'll see him try to toe the line a little bit. But Howie's too aggressive, he's too competitive, he has too many assets for him not to go out and make a move.
Is that third-round pick from the Jets, is that the Hassan Reddick trade?
I believe that is the pick, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That could turn out to be the top pick in the third round. That's almost like a second-round pick. That's an incredible asset. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be listening tonight, 6 o'clock, Go Birds Evenings, right here on WIP. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks there. I kind of forgot about that asset. They have the Jets' third-round pick. That's going to be, what, the 65th pick in the draft, 66th pick?
That might pay huge dividends.
Huge dividends. It's basically a second-round pick. But, I mean, that could be what teams ask for in a trade, right? Like, you know, if you were Howie, would you really invest in this team? Because that means trading away something real, like the Jets' third-round pick to go get help.
Right now?
Right
now.
Well, yeah, they have 20 days to trade that.
No, I know. I'm workshopping it. Howie's done stuff. I think you have enough.
Enough?
I think, on this team?
I
think everything that's going on with this team is between the ears. I think that can be fixed. I really do. And I think, and obviously, injuries, health is a concern.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to sell the farm for... Like, or the future, I should say, to try to fix it, because I think this team is still in a good spot.
Well, they're in a good spot.
You look like, and it's a small sampling size, but it looked like you beat one of the hottest teams in the NFC last week in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it looked like you beat you. Look like you.
Yeah, well,
are pretty
the Tampa Bay's been great.
Other than
the Eagles game, they haven't lost this season.
Yeah, so there's that. So.
Like, if the Bengals call tomorrow, the Bengals play tomorrow night, right? They're going to play the Steelers. And if they lose that game, they're going to fall to 2-5.
I know what you're about to say. You're going to ask me if Trey?
Well, we know how you feel about Trey. I mean, we all know that.
Set that one up, dude.
Yeah. I like Trey.
Excuse me. Good job, Joe. Touche.
If the Bengals call on Friday morning and say we're 2-5, Trey Henderson is a free agent after the season.
And you want the third round pick.
Give us the Jets' third round pick. Would you do it? Wait, right now, can I remind you who our edge rushers are? Patrick Johnson, Azeez Ojulari.
You don't have to.
Josh Uche.
And Za'Darius Smith just retired.
Just retired. We're talking about Brandon Graham.
Isn't he banged up?
Trey Henderson has a back issue, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no.
But I don't think it's serious.
Tidy back.
We know why you don't want him here.
Why? Because I don't feel like hearing this all day.
I like Trey.
This is not about me.
Yes, it is.
It's always about
you. I know
a
lot of times it might feel like that by some of the takes that I have, but it's not. It's not about me. He's a little injured, and we don't know how. This
We're
would be
rolling so, Patrick
so
Johnson out there on Sunday.
Who, I have an agenda. Who was the defensive end that we got from the Bears? I think it was in 23.
Robert Quinn.
And everybody was excited about that. Yeah. And what did he do? He gave you like nothing.
He did not.
Yeah. Nah.
But you stop trying because you swing and miss once? You got to get back up to the plate and
I like
swing.
How you said, if you're going to stop trying.
No, I mean, it's fair.
We got white flag Douglas
I know,
over here.
It's unbelievable. It's like you're trying to sell us on. This is just like last year, yet I'm waving the white flag.
There's no easy way out, Hugh.
And there's no shortcut home either.
Never.
I think this defense is formidable. I think they're serviceable. Let me take that back. They're serviceable.
I agree.
But the offense has to pull their weight.
Yeah,
I think that they can.
Trey Henderson for the Jets third round pick.
Of course.
This is easy.
That's without a doubt.
I mean, there's no need to overthink these kind of things.
So today.
I mean, it kind of is.
Today I would do it. If they wait, though, after the next two games, I might think differently. Like, if the next two games go belly up, then I'm not investing any more in the team. But right now, today, I mean, they need help on the defense, especially if our offense is going to be as choppy as it is. The formula doesn't work. They need help.
This offense, I don't understand. I mean, I understand it to a certain extent, but there are variables that you can throw in there that make it a lot easier to run this offense. Like we've seen glimpses of this offense ability to move the ball.
Agreed.
If you just shorten the game a little bit. And what I mean by that is get the ball out, throw some timing routes, get the ball out the quarterback's
hand. Maybe the quarterback
quick.
Doesn't throw it out of his hand quick. Don't the coaches know everything that we're saying?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, you would think they do. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the disconnect is. Yeah. I really don't.
I think it's only surprising to people who didn't delude themselves this offseason.
Oh, about Hurts.
About the offense and Hurts.
Well, the offense wasn't great last year.
Of course it wasn't.
It was good enough. And they, you know, would they finish 7th in points or whatever it was? Because they ran the football to an extreme level.
They had an historic rushing offense.
Yeah. Well, right now, right now, offensively, there's nothing that feels like it's right. Nothing. 215-592-9494. All right, Elliot there, who starts his show tonight, 6 o'clock, Go Birds Evenings, said if he had to bet on which way this season finishes, he would bet more on 24 than 23. I disagree. To me, this has all the signs of 23. Now, do I think it's going to be as big of a collapse? No, I don't think they're going to lose 6-7 games at six out of 7 games, but they're trending in the wrong direction. They got to get this going. We got delusional Douglas over here, who is just, we're on our way to the Super Bowl. No big deal, guys. A little blip on that radar screen.
I think as grown men, you can't allow petty squabbles.
So you're focused on the issues within the locker room.
Yes, I think that's where it's the most egregious. The things on the field can be fixed, you know, with guys getting healthy and, you know, getting some continuity in the offense. But I think you can't allow petty squabbles to allow you to dismantle a good situation.
I agree. I mean,
because I also feel, Joe, that if your work environment is better, if you fix the work environment, then everything else kind of falls into play. You know, we have a synergistic work environment here.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I just made it up.
I like it.
I just made it up.
You know, I do. We know we have a very synergistic work environment.
Yeah, we do. And it works. And I think that regardless of how, you know, some of y'all have, both of you and Kyle have really, really bad takes that I have to kind of fight off every day.
Hold on.
I genuinely like working with you guys on the day.
And the feeling is mutual, especially when you tell us defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
I'm just saying, when you go.
For a year.
When y'all come with these badass takes every day. And I had to sit here for 4 hours and fend them off like this, like an offensive lineman. I mean, I don't go home mad about that. I go home feeling good.
I mean, you're right about that. Some days are easier than others. Like some days some days you shoot a floater so bad I could just swat it away.
Like today
when you're trying to tell me this is like 24.
Accuracy.
Bam! Swat it away.
I drop dimes on
nonsense.
Here. I am a sage. I got a third eye, and I vibrate on a high level.
Okay.
I enunciate terribly at times, but at certain times, when I'm cooking, I cook.
You do
I
cook.
Articulate.
Yeah.
I articulate well when I
was
want.
It last week when you cooked on AJ 2 weeks ago? You cooked.
I cooked.
You cooked him.
I cooked. I mean, I have my moments, but I kind of like to space those out. As an older gentleman, you ever heard that old analogy when you go down the two bulls on the top of the hill and the – you know.
No, this is a new one for me.
You ain't never heard
this? No,
what
is it? Cook?
Well, I can't. I really don't know if I could. I thought you knew it. Can't really say it too much on
He was really hoping that you knew it so that he didn't have to elaborate.
Because the elaboration is going to make some folks uncomfortable.
I got it.
What you got? You get what
I'm saying. We can pause there.
Take your time. Pace yourself. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I understand.
You know what I mean? So you got to space these hot takes. Not hot takes. That's a bad way to say it. These
hot take
awesome
fire
these,
takes.
These awesome fire takes that I have. You got to space them out.
Mm.
Can't give everybody it all at one time. You know this.
Leave the audience wanting
more. Leave more.
That's called showmanship. 215-592-9494. All right. Let's talk.
I just burped. I hate you, Kyle.
This guy's trying.
I took a shot earlier.
He's trying to be a professional. Let him be, all right? Abdul in Germantown is up. Abdul, what's up?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh.
Hey, Abdul, what's up?
Listen, quick question. Mm-hmm. If the offense is running the same play on multiple third downs, how can you blame that on the quarterback?
Well, hold on.
What I want to tell you, what I told Kyle, go look at Baldy's breakdown of the Eagles' offense.
I saw it. It was the mirrored routes, the four receivers.
Four or five straight third downs with the same route combination, the same motion, and nobody's open because the defense is sitting on it. How is that Jalen Hurts' fault?
So that particularly, Abdul, I don't put on Jalen. But there's things he can do better that he's not as well, right? Like, we can see that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the route.
I understand that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the route that has Devontae Smith wide open. He throws it over his head. There's nothing wrong with A.J. Brown coming across the safety. Yeah, right. Like, so Like they're two separate things. They're two separate things.
The culpability has to be both ways. Yeah, the culpability has to be both ways. So we see five plays of evidence that my OC is calling BS plays. Why can't he be calling BS plays during the rest of the game? You understand what I'm saying?
Abdul,
like, how is it all on Hurts? He does miss some plays.
It's not, but it's not. It's not all on Hurts.
I don't think it's all on Hurts.
But he's got to be better too. I mean, like, that's all.
Yeah, but so
that's disrespectful.
My point is, I think you guys should be focused more on Petula. Or the play call. I don't care.
Abdul, I hear, right.
Isn't it the Jalen Hurts offense?
I hear you, but we have 4 years of evidence with all different coordinators, and since 22, it hasn't looked great consistently. Maybe there's something about the quarterback that causes them to scheme it up like this. Have we thought about that?
I never understood why you guys say that.
I'm asking you.
You got it, Abdul.
A lot of analysts, they say, oh, they're tailoring the offense to Jalen Hurts. Okay, that's fine. That don't mean we only got two routes.
I get that. But when it's three straight years, the passing game is inconsistent, and it's three different coordinators, who are the common denominators in the issue?
I understand that. I'm not dismissing any blame to Jalen Hurts. I just say he's not supposed to be.
Kind of feels like you. Most,
yeah, you totally do.
No, because you guys act like Kevin Petula has no.
For Abdul, can I just stop you right there, brother?
Not
can true. Can I stop you right
yep,
there?
Yep.
I do not sit here. I sit here every day, and I have not at one time absolved Kevin Petula from anything. I even went as far as to say he might be in over his head.
Yep.
But at the same time, your quarterback has to be culpable in some of this. It's not on Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a leader. Do you agree that Jalen Hurts is a leader of this football team?
The leader
of this football
offensively
team.
Offensively, he should be.
No, he's the leader. He's the face of the franchise. He's the leader of the Eagles. And as the leader of the Eagles, when there are certain things that are going wrong, he has to be in that leadership role. He has to take some responsibility.
He never says anything to the defense. Listen,
Abdul. I know we're playing semantics right now, but the bottom line is this: when you walk around the city and you see the face, you see anything with Eagles on it, more than likely it has Jalen's face on it or the offensive line. So my point is that Jalen is the face of this franchise, and as the face of this franchise, and as the leader of this football team, as the quarterback, he's going to be culpable for some of the things that happen on the field. That's a fact. Whether you want to agree with that or not, that's a fact. So to put that all on Kevin Petula is not fair. Jalen has to be culpable in some of this. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, last point I want to make. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's supposed to be absolved, meaning Jalen Hurts. Or I just don't like the way it seems like you guys are absolving Kevin Petula.
Well, Abdul, hold on. All right, you say you guys. After the game on Thursday, Saquon Barkley, voted the best player in the sport by his peers, said last year everyone knew we were running and we kicked everyone's ass.
That's fine, in a pass game it's different because if you're running a stop route, I can just sit on the stop route. It's not giving me an option.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The running game is okay. The offensive linemen have to do their job. On the pass play, it's a little bit different.
Abdul, I hear you. After the second game, I see what you're seeing. I saw Baldy's breakdown. Abdul, good phone call. I do think there's a real chance that Petula is a dud, and he's in over his head, and he's not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
But they have enough good players.
Could cover that up.
Yeah, and listen.
And that's been, and to be honest, Joe, not to cut you off, but that has been one of the storylines for the last couple of years since Jalen's been here. If it hasn't been, anybody can win with this offense. It's been something else, but it's mostly been that. It's mostly been, you know, Jalen is not a dynamic quarterback. Anybody can win in this offense.
All right, so Thursday night, I saw the Baldy breakdown that our last caller mentioned. He totally was right. The mirrored routes two times on third down, exactly the same. Giants ready for it. All that being said, if Jalen makes two plays on Thursday night, even with that coordinator, they have 31 points on the board, and I think they win the game. Or at least it's right there in the fourth quarter, right? The touchdown of Devontae, that should have been touchdown. He walks in the end zone. And AJ, those two plays, they have 31 with the dud of a coordinator. So there's a lot. But Jalen's got to be better, and I agree with you. Petullo, he's struggling right now. 215-592-9494. Are your phone calls on the Eagles? And something that hit us after another Dodgers win last night. We got to talk through this and see if people agree. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. I was getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 to get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style. FanDuel has you covered. FanDuel.com/GIGLI to download the FanDuel app today. Get started. FanDuel Sports for the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The 0-2, and a swing and a miss, and Yoshi Yamamoto with his crown jewel as a Dodger. It is a complete game. He goes the distance, and the Dodgers win game two by a score of 5-1.
Yeah, they're rolling now. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get right back to your phone calls on the Eagles coming up. And is this closer to 23 or 24? How's this going to go the rest of the way? But Hugh, last night, game two, NLCS, and this Dodgers machine has now fully begun to roll. They're starting pitchers this postseason. Hugh, you ready for this?
Yes.
52 and two-thirds innings pitched, a 1.5 ERA. They're up 2-0 on the Brewers. This thing might end quick. The Dodgers, I mean, I think a lot of us felt this before the series, that the winner of Phillies-Dodgers was probably
going to go to the World
Series. And my mind hasn't changed on that. The Dodgers are going to win this thing. They're going to win back-to-back. It's going to be the first team since the...
Back-to-back is hard.
I mean, especially in baseball, 25 years of someone back-to-back. I think they're going to go back-to-back. They're going to win this thing. So here's the question. Does it make you feel better?
Nope.
Hugh, I'm with you on this. It actually makes me feel worse. Better. It makes me feel worse. You know why? Because if a couple things go different, we beat them and we're rolling to the World Series.
No, I
can't feel better.
No, I don't feel better. I don't. It's not a consolation prize for getting your ass kicked by the biggest bully or the baddest bully on the block. No, I don't feel good. I was impressed with Yamamoto last night.
Impressive. Snell and Yamamoto they just pitched the Brewers into submission the last two nights. They don't even get Ohtani hasn't even got rolling yet, and they're up 2-0. Kyle, this make you feel better or worse?
So I understand that sentiment, right? Like it's like, oh crap, like this thing was kind of open. It's sort of akin to when the Sixers lost and it felt like that year was open with when Toronto won.
Yeah.
Right? So I get that. But it made me feel better in terms of, like, this wasn't a Diamondbacks loss. This wasn't a Mets loss. We lost to, like, maybe one of the best teams baseball's ever seen. I think a lot of us would be doing the same thing had the Eagles lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year, where we're like, you lost to a dynasty. Mm. It hurts, but it's not, like, an embarrassment. It's not you laid down like dogs. Like, this part of it's going to piss everybody off.
What do you got?
I'm letting the top three off the hook.
No.
They're off the hook.
No, they're off the hook. No,
yep.
Can't do that.
No, they are.
No, they are.
I just let them off the hook.
Said just like that.
Yeah, like
did it already. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. After seeing the way that the Dodgers are playing against the Brewers right now, like the Phillies held them down. And the Dodgers have really, really good pitching. They just do.
Yeah.
Like they weren't chasing everything and playing like an embarrassment like they did against the Mets. They had a really good series against the Dodgers where one or two things flipped the series in the Dodgers' favor. It was just a few mistakes. The Dodgers made fewer. Like, it's okay to say. I'm letting them off the hook.
All right, so I can't do that. Now, I agree with some of what you said there. They are an all-time team. Hugh, I think we'll look back 25 years from now, 20 years from now, and the Dodgers like, oh my goodness. They had Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Yamamoto, Snell.
But not now.
Right, like, they are a great team. I might feel like Kyle is feeling if the Phillies had got their ass kicked by the Dodgers. Like, oh, what are we going to do? Hugh, it was there. I mean, I acknowledge everything Kyle said. He's right about pretty much all of it. The Dodgers are a great baseball team. They're playing great baseball. They're pitching great. it still was there for the Phillies to win if they don't screw up the end of game two.
Yeah, you pooped the bed. That's the sentiment.
Right, but like
you
this,
pooped the bed.
The fact that we went out in four is frustrating because they were there to be had. A great team was there to be had.
I understand that. Can I, maybe this part of it will you'll agree with more. I'm not basing large decisions about this roster, about this team, solely based on that series. They were a 96 win baseball team.
Wow, Kyle Dombrowski.
I think they are still the second best team in Major League Baseball. So I'm not letting it change how I feel about Kyle Schwarber's contract. I'm not doing any of that.
I agree with that. I still want to bring Schwarber back.
Like I'm just saying, like a lot of the big decisions that we are going to make this offseason, I'm not zeroing in on the Dodgers series as like another October failure. Yeah. They just got beat by a better team.
They did, but they could have beat that better team. And I agree with you. It's not like the Diamondbacks thing. That was they choked.
Yeah.
And the Mets thing, they were chumps. They lost to an all-time great talented team.
I don't think they didn't go out like chumps.
They were not chumps, but they could have won. Copium.
I know they could have. And that part of it is that's
copium to me.
It's a little copium.
It is.
Copium. It is copium.
It is. Yeah, sure. That's fine. But like, I also.
You guys sharing your copium with him?
No, I ain't sharing that. That's some bull junk.
No, it's not. I believe it's true.
You had an opportunity. You went out there and you beat them in their place, right? During the regular season.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity that you squandered away.
The Dodgers might not lose a game in the playoffs, guys.
I don't care. They're a great team.
And we outscored them over four games.
I know.
Y'all straight up copium. This is,
you can call whatever you want, but it's true.
Shame the both of you.
It's true.
Guys.
No, I agree with you.
Oh,
shame.
Yeah, I'm ashamed at you, Kyle. My fault.
What,
is it just a reflex?
No, because you was workshopping it, and it sounded like you was kind of with it a little bit.
I agreed to the point that the Dodgers are great, but we were right there to beat a great
team. I don't feel better watching this.
I mean, like, if the Brewers were winning, I actually think that might make me feel better. Like, oh, hold on.
They had a chance to win at first.
No, Brewers. No. Brewers winning would not.
It would make me feel better.
No.
It would, because then maybe the Phillies weren't good enough anyway.
Then I would feel even more so like this was there for the taking.
But
we should have beaten the Dodgers.
Right.
I don't feel that way.
If the World Series, if we go off the premise the World Series may have been played last week, we lost the World Series. That'd make me feel better watching the other team go finish this job. But this would be the Phillies. If they could have beat the Dodgers, it was a free runway, and they missed out.
I think the threshold is another October failure where the bats crapped the bed and went cold. I don't feel that way. I do not feel that way about the bats this year. I don't.
This is copium.
I almost don't. I'm not lumping this in with the last postseason
exits. When you got the alert that Yamamoto, he pitched a full game.
Oh, I didn't get an alert. I watched it.
Man, I got the alert.
I was watching the game.
I don't understand why you put yourself through that, man.
Oh, I'm locked into.
I enjoy
you
baseball.
Watched that?
Yeah, I watched it. He was great. He gave a home run to Churio, and then he just was like mowing people down after that. He was awesome. I mean, they are a great baseball
team. This is a separate playoff loss from the last two.
It's still not
same old Phillies, the Bats, go cold again. It's not the case.
All right, 215-592-9494. All right, the Dodgers dominating here, and they're like, they might sweep the Brewers. I don't think this thing's getting back to Milwaukee. I mean, it's because they're going to finish it in five or four. Does it make you feel better about the Phillies going down? It doesn't, because for me, it was there for the taking the series. It wasn't like they didn't get blown out. They didn't get dominated by the Dodgers. They got beat, and they got beat on situational baseball, managing the top three, whatever we want to come down on it. They got beat because they couldn't get over the hump against a great team, but it was there. It doesn't make me feel better, and I do think Kyle's on some copium here. It drove me crazy. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jay in Philly's up on WIP. Hey, Jay.
What's going on, fellas?
Jay, what's up, pal?
I can't believe that I'm coming on right after another person is being soft with the Phillies.
Totally soft.
I want to throw up. It's ridiculous. So people come at you, Joe, a lot and say, like, you're not hard on Bryce and stuff. So you say things. It's just the venom that people talk about the Eagles is not the same that they talk about the Phillies, even when they talk bad about the Phillies. It's just not the same. It's nowhere near. And that bothers a lot of fans.
So Jay, I hear that. If that's the way I come off, my reasoning is I have higher standards for the Eagles. I just think
I'm not even coming at you because that's just how this whole area is.
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason, the good old boys they get a. He just said the bats are not the same. What did the first two, three guys do? What did Trey Turner do in the playoffs? What did Bryce do? And what did Schwarber do?
Well, let's start here. What does Trey ever do in the playoffs? Trey is a disaster in the postseason. A disaster.
No, hold on. We're going to start with what Kyle said. And Kyle said it's not the same. What did those guys do that was different these last
years? Have you ever considered that the Dodgers pitching played really well? It's not all about the Phillies all the time,
but
Jay.
But you're always good pitching in the playoffs.
What, no. What are you talking about?
You just said that they're one of the best teams in baseball, right?
They are.
Their best player stunk. Their best player
No. Jay, no.
This was the year that you beat them. This was the year.
Okay, Jay, guess what? The Phillies pitching pitched really well, and the Dodgers pitching pitched really well. It's not just about the Phillies.
We're in Philadelphia. It is about our team. Oh. When you reach
that,
the level.
No. That doesn't make any sense, dude. We all watched the series. We saw both teams play. It is about both teams. It's not just the Phillies did this well and the Phillies did this poorly. The Phillies did something well. The Dodgers did something well. The Dodgers' top three also sucked in the series. Like, both things are true.
But to me, Jay, that's why I get frustrated, because the games were there to be won, right? Like, he's right. The Dodgers, Ohtani didn't hit much in the series either. The Phillies shut him down. But the games were there to be won, and we couldn't do it. That's why I'm annoyed.
Exactly. And why couldn't we do it? And who, you said the bats weren't the same. What did the first three hitters do this series?
Not enough.
Because
that's true. They didn't do enough. They didn't.
We're acting like the Mets pitching staff last year, not that good.
No, it was Quintana.
We should have hit them. The Diamondbacks pitching, Brandon Pfaadt, we should have hit him. The Dodgers have one of the best
I know, they do. They
have a really good pitching staff. Yeah. Like, the Dodgers pitching outplayed our hitting. I'll say this. If you get the best executed pitching, you will not get a hit. The best hitters are hitting mistakes all the time. They're hitting a pitcher's mistake. If a pitcher executes every single pitch, you're not going to get a hit. You're not going to get a hit. Like, that's how baseball works. So, like, I'm not going to apply the same standards to two different sports because they're two different sports. Like, I'm not going to apply the standard of a queen in chess to a checkers piece.
Wow, we got here. It's a good analogy.
You heard
it. We got here. Chess versus checkers.
They do different things.
No, I get it. But I understand. Before you go, Jay, I understand everything he's saying, but it doesn't make me feel better, because if we win that series, we're winning the World Series. I can't feel good today.
But not only that, this is a team that went to the World Series a couple years ago. They won 90-plus games this year. This is about their window and how we're going to look back at this team when the team is over. And people talking like that bothers me, because this is their window, okay, to win a championship, and they're not going to get it done. And at the end, everybody makes excuses. That was an excuse. All right, now real quick about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts had his best season in 2022. We talk about the offensive coordinators. Nobody runs a system like he ran in 2022 when he was second in MVP voting. Why? Because everyone has an ego, and all these offensive coordinators want their name attached to an offense too. Every coordinator, everybody in the NFL has an ego. Executives, coaches, players, everybody wants their name associated with the winning. Bill Walsh has an offense. Mike Shanahan has an offense. You don't think coordinators come in and want their name attached to an offense? Of course they do. Why don't we incorporate what the man did the best with his best season? Why don't we do that?
Jay, I ask myself that often.
I agree with you, but...
Good call, Jay.
Oh, Jay leaving. But I tell you what, I will say this. If I'm having success doing something, right, and if somebody's coming in trying to change that, I would be more apt to go back to what gave me success.
That's what he's saying.
That's And so you got to wonder what's going on, because we don't run RPO anymore. We don't run it like we did. We've kind of gotten away. If you go back and you look at the seasons where Jalen has grown as a quarterback, it just feels like it's gotten stagnant. And if I'm Jalen, because I'm the Super Bowl champion and I have the biggest voice in the building, and at the end of the day, this is a bottom line business and we're trying to win, I think if anybody says, hey, we need to get back to what we were doing, it would be him. Take it back to the basics. Keep it simple.
So here is the question I have off of what Jay just said. And I think we all see the same thing, right? Jalen Hurts, he's had one year of his entire career where he was looked at as an elite quarterback, right? Like, we could say it, we could debate it, we can have fun with this after the Super Bowl, but across the league, right? He got a second team All-Pro. He finished second in MVP voting. That's the mark of where people in the league think he is. Mm-hmm. One time, he was looked at as a top five guy, top two, whatever you want to say.
Rich Show to camera. And I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Why don't we run the offense like we did that year? Hugh, if you ask me my theories, and Jay just brought his theories, right, that maybe all these different coordinators, they want to put their own spin on this. I'll give you these theories. Number one, maybe the league is caught up and it's harder for them to do it the way they did it the first year. I mean, that's one. Number two, maybe they don't want to run him as much because they're afraid as he gets older, he's going to get banged up. He did get hurt that season, right? Mm-hmm. He got hurt in 22. He banged up his shoulder. They're lucky he didn't break his collarbone and ruin that Super Bowl year. So that's a second theory. Number three is maybe he's wanted to change it. I mean, we've heard A.J. Brown say before, was it LeSean McCoy? And maybe, you know, kind of informed, saying that the offense is the Hurts offense. I don't know. I want the same thing we all want. I want what Jay wants. I want the offense to look like they did in 22. Jalen was awesome that year. I thought before he got hurt, he was going to win the NFL MVP, and I thought he deserved it. That's how great he was in 22. It hasn't been like that consistently since. You know, game here, game there, but not since then. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, we haven't heard from Dr. Karp in a while. Dr. Karp, hello, Dr. Karp.
We got to talk to him.
Yes, we do.
Hey, guys, great show. Both of you are sensational. You're very good therapy for the listeners.
Well, thank you, Dr. Karp. You know, we're trying to cope here. Phillies, obviously.
Copium, Kyle's not coping great.
And then the Eagles real. And, yeah, we're coping today. Yep.
And you're doing a great service, and that's why I'm calling. I want to have you guys do the right thing here.
All right, Doc, help us out. Yeah, maybe a little help. We're still mourning the Phils. It feels like we're in a little bit of a free fall here as a station, as a city.
I can hear the anguish in your voices. Joe's right. It does hurt more that the Phillies were right there with the Dodgers, a team for the ages. But there was still an expectation, and the suffering fans and you guys as hosts are searching for a way to cope. And
what you doing?
Let the music relax your muscles. Allow the anger and frustration to subside and let the healing process begin. Acceptance. The Phillies have let us down 4 years in a row now. We need to face the fact that the team is going to screw us. Just like my ex-wife. She screws me monthly.
No.
Some other guys, it's a little more often.
All right, Dr. Karp, come on. I thought you were trying to help us. This sounds like about you.
I find solace in tried and true principles. Ben Franklin once said, you can accomplish anything if you put your behind it.
What? Huh? What's that?
And author Norman Vincent Peale from The Power of Positive Thinking. Shoot for the moon. If you miss, you'll fall off the face of the earth.
No, that's
flat.
Yeah, this and Dr. Karp, that's nonsense. Flat. That's been debunked many times. No.
And from the great Hollis Thomas. The grass is always greener over at Hugh's house.
All right, maybe we try this. How about some advice? You are a professional, at least that's what we hear. Some advice for Hugh and I, maybe some help for the listeners to cope, especially with the Eagles' troubles right now, because they're not doing well either.
All right, great idea to start with. How about you guys start doing that crotch tap thing that Bryce Harper was doing with Wes Wilson earlier in the... Yeah, I know that it was painful for Hugh to watch professional men touching each other in public. That's why I want you to do it right now.
No. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Doc. No.
I want you to feel the pain. Feel Joe's pain.
Mm-mm. I can't do that, Doc. That seems a little... A lot.
Yeah,
that
it seems does. A lot. Maybe something else, Dr. Carl. We're not doing that one. That's not
all right. How about to dispel frustration? The two of you go out today, go to the first person you see, and fight them. Punch them right in the nose. People respect the sucker punch. The world will know that you are the alpha. plus it feels good to take you out of your pain.
I mean, Dr. Karp, I don't think... We can't.
Rod Lincoln. Yeah, I don't think he'd like that.
Blue Jeans Lincoln will not like that.
Blue Jeans Lincoln would not like that.
I mean, Dr. Karp...
Green lighted this.
Nah, I doubt that. Oh, no. I got a phone call this morning. He's not with the violence. He's not with that.
It's too difficult for you guys. Do a shot first. I know Hugh's got that Jack Daniels right there.
That blackberry. Mm-mm. It tastes good. It has a hint. It just has a hint of vanilla.
It is good. I had one.
Yes, it has a hint of vanilla.
After you punch them, then talk to them. Tell them why you punched them. Mm. Tell them how you feel. Stand over them for a little bit. Take the 15-yard taunting penalty. These are the benefits of venting. It's about releasing frustrations on others. I talk about this very thing in my book, Career-Ending Honesty.
That's what it's
called. That might be the name of my book one day. I like that.
Chapter 3, I explain this technique, how it worked for a former patient of mine who will remain unnamed. Let's call him R. Leaf. Wait, that's too obvious. Ryan L. He did exactly what I told you guys to do, and his life was completely turned around. After 5 years at Rikers Island, he enjoyed a wonderful stretch of healing.
Yeah, he had a trouble. He had some trouble. I know that's a long time. I'm not willing to go to that length. Yeah,
if this doesn't work,
it's good now, though.
You take a bunch of hot coals, walk on fire, burn the anxiety out of you. I had a patient who did this successfully. After skin grafting and long-term rehabilitation, he was right as rain.
Yeah, none of this is making any sense, Doc. And I don't think this... Can we stop the music? It's not. It's actually making this worse.
He turned it up loud. This
is making it worse. Regarding the rift between AJ and Jalen, I have an instant solution. Have them switch positions. AJ at quarterback this week against the Vikings. Then Devontae takes a turn the following week against the Giants. Then we sit down and see what we've learned.
Yeah, I think they'll go 0-2 in the two games. Yeah, this isn't going to work. What are we doing here, man?
We've all heard the expression, don't judge a man before you walk a mile in his shoes.
Yep, yes. Heard that. Yep.
Well, this way, when you judge him, you'll be a mile away. And he won't have any shoes.
All right, this is psychobabble here. And I tried. I mean, every time we do these, I try. And then you give therapy a bad rap.
He'll be late for the game if you do it on Sunday. Maybe this will help you have more acceptance of his neighbor, Hugh in the Condo Association.
Oh, no.
Skip a chance.
No, there's a lot there.
You both like gummies and thick-cut bacon. You can cut the music now, Kyle. It's $25 copay. We take Venmo, Zelle, Google Pay, and all the cash apps. Joe, are we still on for Friday in my office?
No, every time. No, none of this is true.
You?
I'm not seeing your office. I don't have any problems with you. I have a problem with you, Dr. Carr.
No, this is my truth. And Hugh Douglas always says, live your truth.
Live your truth,
Doc.
Yes, Doc, yes.
That's why Hugh should live his own truth and admit that he really is an Uber driver.
Wait a minute. I am not an Uber driver. That is not
true. He drives around late night in his gummy mobile.
All right. That's about enough, Dr. Karp. That's enough.
Remember what Albert Einstein said. Camels are like mopeds. They're fun to ride until your friends see you.
All right, Doc. Goodbye, Doc. You're sick. Ignore everything you heard, everyone.
I would have rode him until he told me no.
I apologize to the audience for that.
I didn't know he was going to camp.
Yeah, we got
to
stop taking these calls. 215-592-9494. For more about all that's coming up. And back to something earlier in the season from the Eagles that gives me those 2023 vibes. Where do you come down, 2023 or 2024? And does the Dodgers' dominance here in the NLCS make you feel better like it does, Kyle? No, not for me. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Check the game film. A third of your life is spent in the bed. If your mattress isn't elite, you're losing the time of possession battle. Get it right, folks, at the Mattress Warehouse. And right now, you can save up to 60% store-wide and get a choice of your free box spring or a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. If I were you, I would probably go with the adjustable base. You can do more with that. You know, you can adjust the bed and it vibrates and all that other stuff. You can have all kind of fun with it. Want to upgrade your sleep without blowing the cap? Mattress Warehouse is clearing out the floor, and the deals are designed to save you serious cash. Hit the floor model clearance event and save big while supplies last. And for a limited time, score up to $600 on premium Stearns & Foster and Sealy Posturepedic Elite mattresses, plus an extra $200 off on adjustable bases. But act fast, folks, because these deals are over with on October 21st. Plus, don't sleep on 0% interest financing, plus Mattress Warehouse Signature 1-year lowest price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Do what I did and upgrade with a total confidence at the Mattress Warehouse. Find a store near you at themattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.